Well, how's everyone doing today? You're doing well. What a day we have, a day to celebrate, a day for something new. In fact, today we're talking about how the best is yet to come. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but I tend to be kind of what I would call a futurist. You know, a futurist is always looking ahead and kind of projecting ahead. And maybe another word you could say is like a visionary. Others will tend to be more sentimental, more reminiscent, remembering how things were and relishing that, and sometimes even longing for that, right? The good old days. You know, oh, I remember when it was like this and how beautiful it was. And there's truth to both sides of those things. As I'm getting older, there are certain things that I forget. Anyone else like that? You know, the older you get, I was thinking in my mind of things that I had done not too long ago, but I had more of a vague memory of those things. And I realized I need to either take more vitamin whatever to remember things, or I'm just getting old. But you tend to remember the good things, and you tend to not remember the bad things, right? Even though you say, oh, it was so awesome then, but there were some things that weren't so awesome back then as well. Conveniently, we forget that. Now, Lisa is definitely, my wife, is more of a sentimentalist. And one of the ways I know that is because she still has all of the love letters that I wrote her before we got married. And that was a long time ago. That was like 29 years ago, 30 years ago. She's got them in a shoebox. And, you know, she has them under the bed somewhere, hidden. And whenever I don't act really well, she'll open a letter and she'll read how I used to be. And she thinks, oh, those were the days, right? Well, I mean, some of you are maybe more like that. You're the kind of person that you're a sentimentalist. You collect things from the past. You have old photographs and things like that. Or maybe you're the kind of person that's like, okay, that was the past. Let's kind of move on to the future now. Or these days, you don't really hold on to real photos. You're on the hard drive, right, somewhere in memory. But maybe you're that kind of person. If you hang on and you say, I just long for the way it was. Today is about the future. Today is about what God is doing, not only in this church, but I believe in some of your lives as well. In fact, as we were worshiping today, I felt like there was part of that song that we sang, and it talked about how the different strands or the threads may feel like they're falling apart, but God begins to weave them together again. And I believe that that's what's happening in your lives today as well. Now, there's something good about reminiscing, about keeping track, about thinking about the past, but this is what we want to remind you today, that the good old days don't compare to the good new days. What I mean by that is God still has a plan for your life personally and for the life of this church. He hasn't just kind of abandoned you to the way things were. And they may have been great, and God may have brought you through all kinds of things, but that is not the end. God is desiring to do new things. So there's something about remembering and reminiscing, but we're not supposed to just live there. In fact, part of faith is believing that there is a good coming. There's a future coming, that the best is truly yet to come. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to look there in a moment. But this is the whole premise, that the good old days don't compare to the good new days. Before there can be something new, we have to be willing to move on from something old, the past. Now, by the way, something new and something old doesn't mean like a new person, a young person versus an old person. Because that wouldn't be good, right? Oh, I'm old, so God's moving on from me. No, even the old have something new. And so when we're going to look at this scripture, we're going to see how God unfolds this idea of something new taking place, a new beginning. But before there can be something new, we have to be willing to move on from the past. And for some people, that's really difficult. It's difficult to think about, well, I've got to let go of that. It's hard. It's painful. I've got to move on from that. It's outside of my comfort zone. If you remember the children of Israel, God brought them out of a place of slavery, out of a place of oppression in Egypt, a place where it was just, you know, the Bible says that God heard their cry, and he brought them out of Egypt into deliverance, and it was a difficult time, but here's the thing that's interesting about them. They really had a hard time leaving Egypt. They walked away with their feet, but their heart was still there. One time they actually said, oh, if only we could go back to Egypt. It was so much better there. We had really good food provided for us. It was just our comfort zone was there. But they forgot conveniently that they were slaves. They were slaves. There's another story in the Bible of when God was delivering a family, and the whole family was being brought out of this really wicked, sinful situation, Lot and his family. And the Bible says that when they were fleeing, when God said, go, Lot's wife looked back, even though God, the angels told her, don't look back, just go forward. And so we see for some people, it's difficult to let go. On the other hand, we see a lot of stories in Scripture where people did let go. You know the story of Abraham, who was first called by God to become the father of the nation of Israel, the father of our faith, the Bible says. And he was living in this land called Ur, U-R, Ur. And in Ur, it was all kinds of bad stuff going on, but that was what he was used to. That's where his father was from. That's where he raised his family, or his he being part of that family was raised. That's where he and his wife met. And God said, now that I'm taking you out of there and I'm going to bring you into a new land. Something new, but you had to let go of something old. And then I think about Jesus himself. The Bible says that he emptied himself. He let go of heaven to come to earth. And if you think about that, why did he have to do that? He's the king of the earth, the creator. He was seated at the right hand of the Father, fully God. And yet the Bible says that he let go of that, emptied himself, didn't hold on to it, and came to earth and gave himself for us. And you know why he did that? Because the Bible says it was for the joy that was set before him. He went after what the future held for us. So there's something about going into something new and leaving something old. But it's hard because it means change and it means pain. And when you're doing something new, it's often painful. Or something you haven't done before. Like, for instance, if you start to exercise certain muscles that you haven't used in a while, guess what's going to happen? Pain. We went kayaking a couple weeks ago, and I haven't been kayaking in a while. And I'm like, I didn't realize I had muscles over there. In fact, those hurt really, really badly because I hadn't used them. It was something new. But that's the only way you develop, right? That's how your faith is developed, not by settling and staying where you're at, but being willing to go forward. So the best is yet to come. That means something new is coming. Something new is coming, and something new coming means something's going to become old. How many of you know that everything that's even new right now will eventually be old, right? It all gets old. But if we're not careful, we'll try to live in the old. The good old days don't compare to the good new days. And all of us have these stories of change in our life that were sometimes painful, but sometimes glorious at the same time. Have any of you, we haven't done it yet, our youngest daughter is still single, but there will come a day when she will be married. Some of you maybe have experienced that, especially with a daughter, that you walk her down the aisle, fathers, dads, and you give her a last kiss, maybe not last, but it feels like the last kiss, and then you turn her over to another guy, and it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's something about the future, but it's also painful at the same time. And that's often how change works and new things work. So let me ask you, what kind of person are you? Are you one that's kind of really a futurist, open to it, or are you kind of a sentimentalist, hanging on to what you have? Here's a little quiz that can help you decide if you get more excitement or more fear out of the future and change. One of the ways you can tell how you feel about change is to have you start talking about what's really important to you. If you recall the days when your kids were little, when things were so much simpler, right? And now it's like, oh, they're growing up. This is so hard. I don't know if I can let go. You're probably one that's more of a sentimentalist. If your favorite stories come from 30 years ago, if somebody says, hey, tell me what Jesus did in your life, and you talk about what happened 45 years ago, probably a sentimentalist. Most likely, if the new is threatening, you feel uncertain, the future seems daunting, if your favorite music is the oldies, that means you're a sentimentalist. On the other hand, if you dream about tomorrow, if you love trying new foods, you've never tried that sushi before, let's try it. You know, let's try that octopus salad that I've never tasted, but I'm into it. You know, let's try it. It's new. If you enjoy long-term thinking and planning, if you embrace the modern architect, if you love hearing what the next generation is giving. In fact, here's the most simplistic formula to decide if you are someone who clings to the past or you rush into the future. Which is the favorite cartoon between these two? The Flintstones or the Jetsons? Some of you don't even never even heard of those cartoons, so that shows me. The Flintstones were about prehistoric man, you know, supposedly caveman, you know, Fred Flintstone. And the Jetsons were about the future. Which one do you prefer? Well, here's what the Lord says. It's not about disregarding the past. It's not minimizing the past, but it's not holding on to and living in the past. Let's see what he says in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. I'm going to give you context to it after we read it, but this is what he's talking about. Talking about the past, he says, forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. Say to someone, something new. Say that. Something new. Something new. In fact, it doesn't matter if you're a sentimentalist or you're a futurist. Just the idea of something new, it kind of sounds exciting. Something new. Something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Now, here's the context of this. God has just, in this chapter of Isaiah 43, he goes through a lot of what the victories were from the past. How the children of Israel escaped Egypt. How they overcame the Assyrians. How they went through the whole Babylonian thing, and then they came out as God's people. And he's saying all of those things are wonderful things. It proves that I have been faithful, but I don't want you just to live there, just to tell stories about that, just to remember the situations. Instead, I want you to see that I'm about to do something new, that there's something exciting ahead of time, that even though it may seem to you that it was easier in the past, Lisa and I just got back from a three-week, we were so grateful, our denomination gave us a three-week mini sabbatical that after serving in our supervisory role, we are actually required to take. And so we're fine. We'll take it. And one of the weeks we went to Venice, Italy. We'd never been to the old country. And we went to Venice, Italy, and we spent the whole week there. And one of the things that was amazing about being in that city, which is such an old, old city, talk about the past, is they have somewhere around 125 churches. When I say churches, they're not like little country churches. We're talking about basilicas and cathedrals. And on this small little island, which is all built around canals, they have these cathedrals. And so we went and visited a lot of them, went in and saw the architecture and how beautiful and wonderful paintings and murals on the ceiling. But we also found out as we were talking to some locals there that nobody goes to church anymore. That's all those things are, is old monuments, big, beautiful buildings that people come to visit, but they don't worship there anymore. I thought, how sad that is. I'm sure that there are some who follow Jesus there who think, oh, but back in the 1200s, in the 1300s, oh, it was wonderful. But you can't go back there. That's one thing about the past, let me tell you. You can't get it back. You can't go back there. And in this particular scripture, the Lord is giving them a reality about what the future is going to look like. He's saying, as great as all of that was, don't hang on to it. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. And I want to say that I think God wants to personalize this for you too. Yes, this is about Laconia Foursquare Church. Yes, this is about this community, but it's about your life too. God is prophetically saying to you, don't just live in the past. I'm about to do something new. You're not here by accident. I have not forgotten you. I have not abandoned you. Some of you may think, oh, God has kind of passed me aside now. My best days are the past, and somebody else's now, his anointing is on them, his call is on them, but not me. No, no, no. I want you to tell you, God's call is on you today, and he has something new he's doing. But he is also very honest about it, because he doesn't just kind of do a bait and switch. He says, I'm going to do something great, but listen, there's going to be some wilderness, and there's going to be some wasteland. And that's probably the part that a lot of us will say, I'm okay, I'll stay where I'm at. But in order to get to the something new that he's already begun, that he's already working in your heart, in this church, in the heart of this church, he's going to do something new that is going to mean that there's going to be something old, that it's going to be some change, some moving on, some different things, some uncomfortable things, some difficult terrain. He's doing something new. Here's what this whole picture looks like. First of all, this whole idea of a road in the wilderness, a road in the wilderness. When you think of the wilderness, we typically think of somewhere that's uncharted, undiscovered, some place that is like no one has ever walked through there. And it's for some people, they love that. It's like, you know, I want to be the first one there. I want to, you know, scale that mountain and stick a flag in it. I want to break through that wilderness and camp out where nobody has ever been. I want to discover something. If you think about New England, imagine what this place was like 300-400 years ago, before we settled here. You know, before there were roads and before there were bridges and before there was 93 going all the way up the state. No, I mean, people wouldn't go a couple of miles because it was wilderness. You had to break through. Imagine the early pioneers that went west. You know, a lot of the New England mentality is, man, this is, why would anyone want to go west? This is the best, right? We've already said that. But the truth is that for some people, it's just because they feel like they're settlers. That they want to just kind of settle. God has never called his people to settle. I'm not just talking about a place, by the way. It's really less about a place, and it's more about our heart. He wants us to be sojourners. Because when you sojourn, when you move into the something new, when you walk through the wilderness, you know what that does? It causes you to say, God, I've got to trust you. I have to believe you. I have to have my faith stretched in new ways. In order to break through darkness and branches and forests, I've got to have you with me, Lord. I've got to seek your heart and know where you are leading me. It's amazing, this whole idea of a road in the wilderness. These are breakthrough moments. It's when it goes from darkness to light, a new thing. But it also, a new thing also means hard work, doesn't it? Imagine if you were going to go into a new territory, set up camp for the first time. You'd have to listen to God and hear what he has to say. It's like the children of Israel leaving Egypt, and then they would set up the camp, and God says, sometimes you may spend all day setting up camp, and you may only stay here one night. Other times, you may stay here for a month, but you've got to learn to hear the voice of God, because each time, your faith will grow. Sojourners. The good old days don't compare to the good new days. So not only is there a wilderness, but the Bible says that there's also going to be a desert. But it says that he's going to provide rivers in the desert. I love being around water. Anyone else? I mean, that's why you live in the Lakes region, right? I mean, how do you not beat that, you know, in the early morning, seeing the mist rise from Lake Winnipesaukee, you know, or living near the beach or going to the beach. I mean, Lisa and I love being by the water. We'll take the beach. We'll take the lake. We'll take a pool. We'll take a puddle. I mean, we'll take anything. We love the water. And there's just something beautiful about it. And so when God describes a river in the desert, think about what that means. Think about what that means. That means, because when you think of a desert, you think about dry. You think about hard. You think about struggle. I mean, no one says, you know, Lord, give me the desert. No. No, you want, I mean, even the deserts of our nation have been settled to be beautiful places. Have you ever gone to Palm Springs in California? That's a desert, but they've irrigated it. They put palm trees up. They've got pools, and it's just, they've had to transform because no one really wants to just, like, camp and hang out in the desert. But I love what it says here. It says that I am providing a river in the desert. A river in the desert. Is God saying this? He's saying no matter how dry you feel, regardless of how long your journey has been, I'm going to provide a river there. I'm going to do something new there. But you've got to be willing to go there. You've got to be willing to go there. And so I'd ask you, thinking about the life of this church, this has been a season, I was talking to some folks for a while afterward, this has been a season that could feel a little bit like wilderness, a little bit like desert. But you know what it has also done? It has brought the body together. It has brought the church together. And yet at the same time, now we are at a place where God's saying, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. Don't try to go back to the way it was, the past. Look ahead. Behold, look, see. Do you see it? And in your lives, you may say, man, I feel like I'm in a desert place. My family, we're in a desert place. Well, I want to speak over that. God is going to provide a river through that desert. In your walk spiritually, you may feel like, man, I'm like nowhere with God. Okay, here comes the Lord, and a river is going to cut through. In fact, the Bible says that out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So you may feel like you're all desert, but you open yourself up to God in this season, and a new river will come. In the most dry places, God does a new and refreshing thing. But in order to get there, you and I have to have the kind of eyes that see beyond where we're at. Eyes of faith. The best future is seen with eyes of faith. If you think it's true that, okay, Lord, this is wonderful, all the things you've done, but what you're about to do could top that. I mean, how do you do that? God can do that. Think about that. We may not be able to top our last accomplishments and say, oh, I'm going to do better, but God always does. God always gets the last word, and God always will top himself if we believe him. And if we're willing to go there and not hold on to the past. So this is what he's saying to each of us. Shall you not know it? Can you see it? Will you expect it? Don't just dwell on the past. Even though the past may be great or maybe not so good. Because sometimes we hang on to that part too. Don't just remember the former things. And listen, this doesn't mean you disregard the past. But this is the part of the past that we always hold on to. Because here's what the Lord says in verse 26. Put me in remembrance. In other words, God is saying, if you want to remember something about the past, remember how I showed up. And remember how I will continue to show up in your life. If you want to remember the past, think about how this church got formed by people who were willing to say yes to the Lord, even though they didn't know what the future looked like. And you know what? I was there. Keep me in remembrance. You know how the children of Israel got rescued out of Egypt? Why? Because I heard their cry and I delivered them. Remember me. Don't just remember the past and the circumstances, but keep me in remembrance. If you want to remember, remember me. Not the former days as much as the way that I walked through those days with you. Always faithful. Never failing you. This is what it said, the psalmist said. He prayed this prayer to God, and I love it. He says, "Oh God, we meditate on your unfailing love. You love me then, you love me now, you're going to love me tomorrow." We are a denomination, the Four Square Church, where our theme verse says this. It's in Hebrews. It says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday," but doesn't stop there. He's not just the same yesterday. He's the same yesterday, today, but he's not just the same yesterday and today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is a God of the future, not just of the past. Yes, he's done wonderful things. We can think about those. We can refresh those, but we don't just live there. And that's why the good old days don't compare to the good new days. We're going to pray, and then we're going to install your new pastors. But before we pray, I really felt strongly during our worship time, when those words came up on that song that said that he takes the tattered and he weaves it anew, that some of you feel like your life is tattered. And you're saying, is God really going to take all of that and weave it together into a beautiful tapestry? Yeah, that's the new thing that he wants to do. Could you bow your heads right now? And I'm going to ask if any of you at all have a sense that you kind of long for the way it was. There was a joy in your salvation. There was an excitement. And today, it's not that things are awful, but you've been managing your life without God. And he's saying, I want to do a new thing. Forget about all that. Today, I want to do a new thing. If you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Peter, before this day is over, I want to have eyes to faith to say yes. Even though that may mean going through some wilderness and going through some desert, he's going to provide a way in the wilderness and a stream, a river in the desert for me. I want him to take the tatteredness of my life and weave it together again. If that's you, would you just lift your hand and I'm going to pray with you. Pray together. Yes, 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 yes. Father, I lift up those whose hands are raised and those whose hearts are raised. Lord, maybe they didn't raise their hand, but Lord, as wonderful as the past was, right now, these folks are in a place, Lord, where it's easy to be drawn back to, oh, if only it was like that. Things were so much easier. Where did I lose it? What happened? And the Lord says to you this morning, listen. Open your heart. Let me penetrate into your heart and just tell you that my love for you is unfailing. What I did before, I want to do again and more so in you. That today is a new day. That I want to use you. That I want to be with you. That I want to heal you. So, Father, for those who are longing for that, God, come to them right where they are and Lord, cause your Holy Spirit to well up on the inside of them, to be kind of like a river in the desert, refreshing them, reminding them, loving them. As I was with you then, I will be with you today and tomorrow, the Lord says. We receive that, Lord, in your name.